Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for our trip back a long time ago to a galaxy far, far away. We're going to hear about Ricky's annual pass holder preview to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge today. So stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. The Magic for Less Travel has been booking magical vacations for their guests for years and years, and every trip is very important to each travel agent. They know how special these times are down at Walt Disney World, whether we're heading to Toy Story Land for the first time with our kids, celebrating years gone by at Epcot, or just celebrating that major milestone in your life. We know that these are the best times. These are the important times, and the travel agents never forget that over at the Magic for Less. They're going to get you the best deal possible on that trip, but more importantly, ensure that you're going to have a great time each and every time you head to a Disney destination, whether it's Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney. They're going to take great care of you. So check them out today. They got a great website. It's over at themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials, all the free services they offer their guests. And while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You'll get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase does help support the show. So if you want to support what we do here and make it possible for us to keep putting out the shows, bookmark the website and use it every time you shop online. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1528 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Thanks for your support over there. We appreciate that so much. We are back. We're going to be talking a little Star Wars Galaxy's Edge as we are inching closer to the opening of this amazing land that was just a dream just a few short years ago over at Hollywood Studios, and it is almost go time. I can't wait to see how this goes. After Disneyland, I don't know what's going to happen, so we'll see. But Ricky was there this past weekend, so we're going to talk about this annual pass holder preview of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So joining me today, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, The Mouse for Less, and occasionally Wedway Radio. What's up, Ricky?
You know, I agree with you. We really have no idea what to expect with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge when it officially opens next week. What? Is that right? Yes. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Okay. Yeah, it opens next week. Like less than a week from now when this, you know, goes live. That's insane to me. You know, we've been talking about this for 4 years. Four at least. And now it's here. It's crazy.
For the video folks, I'm doing the CarMac. Yes. Excessive crowds.
I would assume. You never know. I mean, you don't.
We'll see. It's exciting, though. When you don't know, it makes it exciting, especially as, like, you know, I think we love going to Disney, but, you know, 95% of the time we're not there and it's a spectator sport. So
that's true. Definitely a spectator sport.
I hate to say that, but I'm excited to see what happens. All right. And also joining us, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Pam, how you doing? Glad to have you back.
I am doing great. I am back from vacation, rested. It was not a Disney vacation. So, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. They can't all be. Had a great time. Sorry, I bent down there and then I'm kind of like this on the
video.
You know, but looking forward to coming back. I am going to get to be at the media preview of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening. I know. I'm really looking forward to it. We got our schedule. It's tentative. We'll be there at night. So there'll be lots of great pictures coming out of there from the night thing. And we'll see what the kind of things that they have for us to do. I'm really excited about that. So, you know, I'm a big Star Wars fan, but I really wanted to wait till the preview to go and see it. So we'll be there and we'll check it out.
So a lot to cover. All
right, this isn't going to be spoilers for you. I'm sorry if it is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we got to watch it. Yeah, there will be spoilers today. If you don't want them, just skip this show and join us again on Monday. But we're going to get you just give you some information to help you have a better experience as you go down there here in the months to come. And I'm actually skipping the AP preview. Actually, it's already gone by the time this show comes out. I made the call. I want to go down and see Illuminations one last time, Epcot Forever, and the gondolas. I mean, it's just like there's just more bang for your buck there. As much as I love Star Wars, it'll still be there, you know. So
that's true.
And you were there. Yeah. Pam's going to be there. It's covered for the show, so we're gonna.
That's right.
We're going to make that call and do that. So anyway, Ricky was there this past weekend, drove down. I was watching your progress on Find My Friends as you made it down to Walt Disney World. I love that because I have all my friends and I know where they are. And it's kind of cool when you're heading to Disney. It's like, I wish I was going, but you know, hey, Jasper, Florida,
shocking me.
Trucking on down.
My friends. Yeah, exactly. It.
So, you know, we have about 30 minutes. So walk us through what you experienced.
Yeah. So I got to go to the annual pass holder preview and it was actually really cool. I've done pass holder previews before for Pandora. So it was interesting to kind of compare how this preview went. When they were letting us in, they were basically like you had a time, but they pretty much, I don't know if it changed throughout the rest of the week, but when I went on the Saturday, they were letting us in. Like it didn't matter what your time was. They just said, yep, go right on in. So I got the heads up from somebody that it was open. And so I was like, all right, let's go. So my time was originally 1 to 5. And I think I went in maybe like 11:45, 12 o'clock. So they let me right in. And it was super easy to get in. No wristbands. So they also weren't watching your time on how long you were in the land. So they weren't kicking you out if you were, you know, past your time. Although they did kick us out the day that we did our preview because they had a special event that evening. You know, as far as I know, like once you get a plan with the preview, you were good to go, which I was really surprised about. I thought they were going to be super strict about, nope, this is your time. You can't get in before. You have to leave when they tell you, but they seemed pretty loosey-goosey about the whole thing. So that was my first real surprise about the whole process.
So the check-in, though, was very smooth, and then did they walk you back to the entrance to the land, or you just found it yourself, went to the entrance to the land, hey, you're good to go, you got an email here, let's go.
Nope, so you had your email, you had to either show it to the cast member or have it printed out. You went right into the front, right where the archway is, you know, that they've built over by Grand Avenue, you know, Muppets, that kind of thing. So there was a bunch of like, you know, grass or trees that they have put up, you know, as blocking everything. Mm-hmm. But for those of us who had the pass holder preview, we just went right around the trees and went right on in. So that was pretty much it. I mean, it wasn't hard at all. And they were just like, yep, go on in. It's all good.
So the feedback I've been getting when I've been talking to folks this week about, you know, the Friday show is going to be about Galaxy's Edge, because a lot of our listeners are going to these AP previews. And you got to one of the first ones where people were going to go, you know, throughout the week. And the feedback I got a lot when I said Ricky's going to talk about this on Friday show was they wanted to hear your perspective because you enjoy Star Wars. You like Star Wars, but you're not somebody who's like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you're not like diehard Star Wars, you know? So that's going to be a different perspective than you're going to get in a lot of podcasts and a lot of blogs and so forth, because a lot of folks are just
diehard.
Yeah, exactly. So you get there, you're walking into the land. So first impression from somebody that's semi-casual on Star Wars.
So I have to say, I actually very much enjoyed the land. I think that it, in a way, because I'm not a Star Wars fanatic, I actually think it helped me. I did not have preconceived notions of what to expect. You know, because I'm not a Star Wars fanatic, I'm not disappointed that it takes place in between 8 and 9, which is when the story of Batuu and Galaxy's Edge is set right now. So that didn't, you know, I'm not disappointed that there's no Darth Vader or anything like that. Like, I didn't grow up on any of that. So I went in there and I had no preconceived notions. And I really do think that helped me enjoy the land a lot better than some other people may or may not be enjoying the land, just because like I really have, you know, I have no preconceived notions. I don't have any skin in the game. You know, I just enjoyed the land for what it was. And I think that absolutely was a big plus in my favor. So,
Let me ask you one more question. I want Pam to ask some questions because she has a little bit more experience than I do with the land, and she's going to have even more as the week goes on. What the size and scale of the land? Because, you know, Toy Story Land is, I love Toy Story Land. You know, that's the newest land I've been in currently. And it's, it's a good size for what it is. You know, Slinky Dog is just the right size to me. You know, Alien Swirling Saucers fits perfectly over in that corner. Woody's Lunchbox, you know, takes up an appropriate amount of space. And you got the new entrance to Toy Story. I think it's well laid out. So did it seem grand? Did it seem quaint? Did it seem just right, comfortable? What'd you think on, like, the size and scale?
You know, I think comfortable is the correct word. It definitely, so I feel like Toy Story Land, you feel a little boxed in, you know, because it's really just that one strip, that one corridor for people to go on. It feels a little more like Pandora in that sense of, like, you have wandering pathways that you can go through. You can kind of explore. They have the, so you walk in, and where I walked in, like I said, it was right by the Grand Avenue entrance. And right by that entrance is actually where you walk in a little bit. And like I said, it feels a lot like Pandora when you walk through. I mean, when you walk right in, you've got the forest kind of all around a little bit and stuff like that. But you walk in, and that's right where the Rise of Resistance attraction is going to be. That area wasn't, because Rise of the Resistance isn't opened yet, that area right there was not super busy. So it was kind of a not dead area, but it didn't have as much life to it because, you know, people weren't necessarily going that way. There was no real reason to go that way. But as you walked along, you meandered through the path. There's obviously giant ships. I don't know what kind of ships. I apologize, not being a Star Wars fan. I might have been an X-Wing. Yes. It might have been something else. I think it was an X-Wing. So you've got a ship right there. As I walked in, I saw Rey and Chewie. They were working on the ship and trying to figure out how to get the thing to go, you know, why it was crashed or whatever. And you walk in more, and you've got like two different pathways that you can choose from. So you've got the pathway that leads you into the marketplace, and then you've got the pathway that leads you around and into kind of more of the resistance area. The marketplace definitely feels, it really does feel like they went to Morocco, and I know that's what they did. Like, it feels like the Morocco Pavilion in a lot of ways because, you know, it's got the meandering feel to it. You walk along. There are shops and stalls as you walk through on the sides there. That's where you'll find Sokka's popcorn. That's where you'll find, like, as you continue along that pathway, there's all the different shops, like the Tordarian shop. None of the shops are labeled. So you don't really it kind of just feels like you're going in and out of a marketplace, you know? So like, they're not labeled as to what they are. They're very, it does follow the Harry Potter method of, you know, they're not very deep. They're very small. They're very quaint shops that you go in and out, but you're kind of weaving in and out of them. So it feels okay. It really does feel like you're in this bazaar, this marketplace, which is a really cool, cool experience. And then as you walk, if you go the other way, I think that if I remember correctly, that was the way to get to the Savi's workshop, which again, that's the hardest thing I had to find was Savi's workshop because it is definitely not labeled, which of course is part of the story. You know, they don't want it labeled because you're there as scrappers. You're building, you're not building lightsabers. You're putting scrap metal together and making a lightsaber. So because of that, that was actually the hardest thing for me to find. I actually had to ask cast members because I was like, I don't know where it is because I needed, and I'll talk about this in a minute. But thanks to the Positano family who graciously invited me in with them to build a lightsaber. I had to figure out where it was and I was like, I can't find it. So you'll definitely have difficulties finding that if you have to build a lightsaber. Then there's the droid workshop again. That's, the Droid Depot that's right next door to that. And again, no labels of what it is. The doors are all like sliding doors and they don't necessarily look like doors. Some things look like doors and some things like look like they're just, you know, sets. So kind of hard to tell what's a set and what's an actual door. So you kind of have to go up to things and see, do you open? Do you not? You know, that kind of thing. And then as you walk around, like you go past the Droid Depot, and then you go around and then you go to the resistance section. And then that's where you'll have that what's the resistance? Or that's not the resistance, the First Order. That's where you go to the First Order section. What's the First Order ship? The big black thing that I don't know.
Yeah, it's just one of the.
It was one of those.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Dennis. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm a bad
Star Wars.
Destroyer?
Like a destroyer?
Yeah, I think it might be a destroyer. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. It kind of looks like a modified TIE fighter is what it looks like.
Yeah, TIE fighter. That kind of thing. Yeah. So they have that. The milk stand is right there. And they have another shop, a first order shop for you to buy any of your, you know, Sith merchandise that you want or whatever you want there. You'll continue along the path, and that's where you get to Oga's Cantina. That one at least is labeled. It does say Cantina, so at least you can figure that one out. Or you'll see all the people standing in line. So there's that. And then they have this. It's the perfect reveal. It's like you walk under the train station, and you just end of the Magic Kingdom, and then you see just in all of its glory the Millennium Falcon. And so that's where the Millennium Falcon attraction is. And as you continue along the path, you'll get to Docking Bay 7, which is the quick service restaurant. And then you hit Ronto Roaster, and then that's where the marketplace kind of connects. So it's a kind of a giant circle in a way, that Black Spire Outpost section. It's all kind of a giant circle that goes around. That's kind of the land. That's basically that. And the best thing I can do is suggestion-wise is walk around the land first. Get your lay of the land so you really kind of understand where things are, because that's what helped me the most was trying to figure out where things, because like I said, things aren't labeled in the land. You know, you have to, unless you read Arabosh, which I obviously don't, or you download the My Disney Experience app and you use the data pad and use that to try to figure out what things are. Really getting the lay of the land and figuring out where things are in it is probably going to be the best way for you to enjoy the land the most, I think. I completely went through the land. I'm sorry. But
that's fine. I'm going to let Pam jump in here, but I just want to say one thing about the comment you just made about that. I love that there is discovery in this land, that it's not all labeled, and that it almost like as you were, because I haven't been in the land yet, and I'm kind of excited because it gives me perspective as to what you were saying. I followed you on Instagram and all the posts on the Facebook page, so go back and check that out. Be Our Guest Pod on Instagram and in the Facebook page. But the thing is, you know, with the stuff not being labeled and things may be a door, maybe not be a door, small stalls in like a bizarre setting. Like, I've seen that in the prequels. I've seen that in, you know, Tatooine. I've seen that in the post, you know, original trilogy, you know, 7 right. and 8. And I've wanted to explore those lands, you know, and if I was dropped in those lands, I wouldn't expect there to be labels or for me to know what's going on. So it almost does. Disney does that so well. It brings you into the story where there is discovery. And when you find something, it's kind of like, that's pretty sweet. So
yes,
you say that. I know it's kind of a struggle, but I'm glad it's a struggle because there's kind of a reward in finding it. You feel like, hey, that's kind of a fun
absolutely.
Thing.
Which is, you know, I know frustrating for, you know, some people, but for me, it was, like I said, it was really cool to just explore the entire land and really see where the bits and pieces of the land were, things that I'd obviously heard of. And I was like, okay, now I can put, you know, the name with this. And this is the location that it's in. And that, again, all that really helped me. And like I said, exploring the land, I think, is going to be key in your enjoyment of, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at first. So.
All right. I'll pass it off to Pam. So what other questions or comments you have for Ricky? We have about 20 minutes. So much to talk about in this land. But we only have like 20 minutes left.
I know, right? I'm really glad that you liked it because in everything that I was told leading up to it and being there, they said, you do not need to know the stories to enjoy this land. And I think, you know, that's part of the deal that, you know, I think that people are going to want to see this, whether they liked it or not. And like Pandora, you were saying it was like Pandora. I love that there was that comparison because I don't particularly love the Avatar movie. I mean, it's fine. I could really take it or leave it. Sorry, James Cameron.
I think we all could take it or leave it. Trust me.
There were parts of the story that were interesting and then, you know, but it was so long. But you know what I mean? Yeah. But I actually love Pandora. Mm-hmm. I truly do. I think it's extraordinary at night. I think that there are so many things that they did right. You know, the Imagineers did right. But what do you think that people who do know the story are going to take away from it? Like, what do you think they are really going to be excited about?
I mean, I think that they're going to be excited about the details because there are so many things that are in the land that obviously I don't know what they are necessarily, but they're things that you've seen in the movie. Like, I've been following along with a few people who, you know Star Wars and you know, I've seen, oh, this is, you know, a vehicle from this movie. And, you know, for me, like, I don't know what movie it is. I couldn't tell you just by looking at it, but they can see, oh, I remember seeing that vehicle in said movie. Or there are these boxes or something like that that are throughout the land that I think have been in another movie, you know, that kind of thing. So really taking the details and finding those and really exploring the land in that way. You know, you've got the creature that's in the water fountain, that lives in the water fountain, that I know is in another film. It's the big giant eye.
That's the original Star Wars. That's the dude that gets Luke and sucks him down into the trash.
See, I don't know what his
name is, but that thing gave me nightmares when I was a kid. I mean, nightmares.
Yeah, see, for me, I don't know what that is. But for you, like, again, you have the connection to it, so you know what it is. And, like, yeah, exactly. You get something else out of it that I don't, which is good. You know, I enjoyed it for what it was, whereas you'll be like, yeah, that thing scared the ever-loving daylight out of me.
That's awesome. The thing that gave me nightmares when I was 7 is going to come to get me in Galaxy's Edge. Nice.
Exactly. So I think that, Pam, to answer your question, I think that's what Star Wars fans are really going to enjoy. Now, I know, like, if you love the four, you know, through 4 through 6, I get where people who love 4 through 6 are a little disappointed in the land because it doesn't follow really any of that. You know, like, there's no Darth Vader. You know, that Darth Vader's dead. So, you know,
spoiler.
Like, there's no
spoiler.
Sorry. if you didn't know that by now, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're in
no,
the new
I don't.
Series.
I don't get to point. I don't get disappointed by stuff like that.
I
just really don't. I mean, I think that's where people get disappointed and maybe probably get disappointed about other things in their life.
Yeah.
If you go into it with expectations and you can't,
and I went in with zero expectations
from that expectation,
yes,
then it's challenging because yes, somebody else isn't inside your head. They can't be.
Yeah.
I think you do have to go in with it with the whole, like, okay, you know, I'm just going to go in, experience it for what it is, and see if I can come away from it with something that I like or appreciate or enjoy about it.
Exactly.
And I think if you do that, then you'll be a little bit happier. But, you know,
yeah,
I'm more focused on being happy than
some.
Me too. But, I mean, I'm excited, though, because I think that, like, Disney does it so well in every land. I mean, you know, it can be as detailed, and you can find things that if you know things, you find things that other people are just going to walk right past and never know, which I like.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so we got to get down to the brass tacks.
We're okay.
We're going to be talking about this for the next, like, you know, forever, because Lan's going to stay here. But everybody wants to know about the lightsaber. You had a great picture on Instagram. And I swear, like, you know, I was like, ah, dude, $200, dude. I'm getting a riding lawnmower from a new house. I'm not even going to spend it on a lightsaber. That's like a fifth of a lawnmower. No way. And then I saw the picture, dude, and it was like glowing against your skin. Like, your face was like glowing just like Luke Skywalker and, you know, in episode 4. I'm like, oh my God, I got to go get another job because I got to get a lightsaber. Like, the picture was awesome. There were two people, you and somebody else had a lightsaber. I was like, oh my God, that looks so real. I got to get one. So walk us through what that experience was like, because everyone wants to know about the lightsabers.
Okay, so again, I have to thank the Positano family. They are so wonderful and invited me to do the lightsaber experience with them. Matter of fact, you know, they actually let me build the lightsaber. Like, they didn't care what I did. So I was like, are you sure? You know, like, you don't care what I, like, I picked out the color. So I am a Sith, apparently.
Yes.
Yes, of course, we all do that. I picked out the handle, like, what it looked like, the design of it, like, all of that. Like, I got to pick it out. So I'm so grateful for them that they trusted me enough to, like, do this. And they let me build it. They thankfully filmed it. There will be a video that's posted of me doing the whole lightsaber experience. I am not great at it. You will see me completely flub it up a number of times because I'm trying to screw the lightsaber together. And I'm like, I don't get it. I had the thing on backwards, you know, as one does who doesn't know how to build a lightsaber. So, but the experience itself, yes, it's $200. Yes, it is a lot of money. And no, I still can't justify spending $200 on a lightsaber. But
that picture was so cool, man. I'm ready to drop $200.
Right. That is where the person who has a connection to Star Wars should be excited about it, right?
Exactly. Yes.
I will walk down my street with that thing after dark just because I can.
So if you are so excited about building a lightsaber, you will absolutely enjoy this. I enjoyed the experience, and I don't even have a lightsaber to take home. Although I, bless you. Sorry if you heard Brian sneezing.
Because he died.
So anyway, I am so like this experience was just far and away really cool for $200.
Because he died again. Get him some Kleenex. Go ahead, Ricky.
So for $200, this was absolutely so cool. Like I said, I got to experience building lightsaber. They give you the pieces. You pick out which pieces you want. You pick out the Kyber crystal that you want. You put it all together. And then the reveal of your actual lightsaber when it's finished and how they do it. And I don't want to give it away because it's really, really cool. Yeah, don't do that. But the reveal of how it actually happens. And I have to say, this is a show. Like this, you are going in to experience a show. What they do, the cast member who plays the main, one of the main gatherers, she was phenomenal. She really made you feel, you know, like this was, you were really building a lightsaber. This show was absolutely a great experience. Like I said, I have video. It'll go up on the mouse for us. So I hope to get that video worked out this week. Hopefully I'll get it up this week for everyone to see what the lightsaber experience was actually like, if you want to be spoiled by it, because it was absolutely the coolest experience. And like I said, that is a hefty lightsaber when you are done with it. So for $200, you are getting something that's extremely hefty, very well done, very well made. I just, again, I can't justify $200, but if you can, that's super awesome. And like I said, you know,
get another job.
You're paying for the experience too. And it's such a cool experience. Now the experience lasts about 15 minutes. So just know that. It was a really cool experience.
So it's like an individual experience. Cause what I'm picturing, like all this time leading up to this, until I started putting two and two together in my head, was that it was kind of like this, how, you know, like at the old, Once Upon a Toy Store at Disney Springs, you know, like everybody's around all the junk and everybody's just putting them together, taking them apart and all that. No, this is like you go in and it's like you said, it's not just buying a lightsaber. It's the experience. It's an individual thing.
Correct. Yes. It's you and one guest who get to go in and do this experience. And so just know that, which is kind of a disappointment. I know, like, especially if you this in this situation, they were the reason why they bought two lightsabers was because they both the adults wanted to be in with their daughter to see the experience of building a lightsaber. And the only way to be able to do that was they had to buy two of them, which, you know, again, that's thank you so much. That was so unexpected. So I can't thank them enough.
I was worried they're going to say, so you could build one. I'm like, no, that was too much.
No, it wasn't that, but you know, they wanted to see. So if you are like a family of three, like somebody either has to wait outside or you got to, you know, build another lightsaber. So
they don't let you go in to watch your kid build one.
They will only let one person go in. I don't know how it works. I've had the question posed to me of, well, what happens if you have two kids and just one adult? I, you know, like you would, do you have to send both kids in? I mean, I don't know. I that seems rather irresponsible. You know, to just send your two kids in to go build a lightsaber. So I'm not entirely sure of how that process works. If it's because the area that they have you build in is, I can see where if you had two kids and one adult, like you could fit three people in, but I don't know if they'll let you in that instance. And I didn't ask and I apologize. I should have. But yeah, for the most part, it's one person with one builder. So, yeah.
Okay. So we'll get off the lightsabers because we got to talk food and drink because that's the other thing everyone's so about. But are they agile? I mean, can you swing them?
I wouldn't necessarily like whack anybody with it real good.
I would at least like tap, you know, like
you can tap. It's like a heavy duty plastic that the actual saber,
so it's not
like
glass.
The blade is. It's not glass. Okay. No, it's more
God,
like
they
a heavy
look
duty
so
plastic.
Good though. They, that thing, it was like you were glowing, like you were in the movie. Like when I saw that, I'm like, oh, oh, like it looked like Kylo Ren, like when they're having that battle with Rey in the snow, like how they just light up when they have the lightsaber. I was like, oh, like I don't know if that's just the lights in the room, but take my $200. I've been saying forever, I'm not doing it. I've said this. Times
and like I said, the video will be even better because like now you'll really be like, take like $200.
Does it hum? Does it?
Yeah.
Oh,
and it makes noise when so you like move it. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God, I hate you, Disney. I hate you. They got me. Okay, so food and drink. Talk us about that because I'm gonna want that too.
All right, so we did eat at Docking Bay 7, and I have to say this was my kind of biggest disappointment in the entire land. I was not super impressed with Docking Bay 7, and you know me, like, I enjoy food a lot. We got the kudu rib, I don't know what it is. So it was ribs. And so I got that. The ribs were served with a blueberry cornbread muffin and some sort of vegetables that were, I don't know if they were onions or cabbage. They were in like a vinegar. They were very acidic flavored. So there wasn't a lot of heft in my meal. My ribs were very dry. I should have just taken them back and asked for another set of ribs because these were just not good. The blueberry cornbread muffin was fantastic though, and I don't even like blueberries. So I enjoyed the muffin, but the ribs were not great. I also got the, we got the tip-yip, the fried tip-yip, which is chicken. For those who don't know, and it's served on a bed of mashed potatoes with vegetables in it. So like it's got peas and carrots mixed into the mashed potatoes, and then it is served with a vegetable gravy. Yes, your gravy is green. So just keep that in mind. The chicken was good. I very much enjoyed the chicken. I enjoyed the mashed potatoes. I thought they were good. My disappointment here is you only get, it's basically one fried chicken cutlet. Like it's like a little bit bigger of a chicken tender and you only get one. And it's, I think it was like $16 for that. And it was like $18 for my ribs. And the portion sizes are just not big. I mean, they are real for your money. I mean, seriously, I say go somewhere else. Go at Hollywood Studios. Like seriously, if you want to like go to a table service meal and like there, you're going to get more food and it's going to be just a little bit more money because for the money, it was way not worth it. I actually left hungry. I left starving. And that tells you like I went in there hungry and I left hungry. So that was my biggest disappointment. Now Georgia, who Pam and Jocelyn and I know, I ran into him there, and him and his wife actually, I got to try her tip-yip salad. That was actually really good. I did enjoy that. What I tasted of it. Georgia got the pot roast, which was also very good. It's served on like a bed of noodles, though. Again, an odd choice, but you're on a different planet. But the pot roast was really good. But again, I just feel like for the money, it's a lot of money for what you're buying. So, and I, like I said, I left hungry. So yikes.
Interesting. So yeah. Pam, what are your thoughts on what you've seen and what Ricky has said? I mean, because of course they're going to be, this is still a preview at this point, you know, and they're going to hopefully hear this feedback. I mean, you know, I mean, they do monitor things and they're always, asking guests what they think as they leave a land and leave a park. So what are your thoughts on this?
I think the first month or two for any restaurant is challenging.
Yeah.
No matter how long they preview and how long they test it before they let any guests try it, it just is. Whether it, and this goes for whether it's a quick service restaurant or like a sit down, more signature type restaurant, it just really is. And before, you know, hopefully they'll get to a point that like Satouli is, that they'll find its stride and, you know, do something like that. They may need to make some changes, but that's the one thing that Disney is really good at. Mm-hmm. They survey, they ask for feedback, and then they make changes based on that, which is something I think that they do pretty much better than any other company out there. They just do. They're able to adapt. They're not locked into things. So the things about Disney that are frustrating to some people that they're like, oh my gosh, they're always changing something or whatever, are absolutely the things that make them a good company. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to trying some of the things that are just exclusive to that land. You just felt like on some level, some of the food that's being served there has to be exclusive to the land. And I love the names and stuff that they're coming up with. So, I mean, that people will like bulk at that too. Like tip yip, what's that? You know what I mean? But hopefully, it'll hit its stride and find a little something that, you know, they like.
And that's kind of my thoughts. So that's kind of why I'm sharing the feedback, is because I feel like they're close. They're just not quite there yet. And like I said, the portion size versus what you get is really my biggest knock on things is that, you know, especially because they're charging a premium because it is Star Wars, mm-hmm. Galaxy's Edge. I mean, I get that, but you know, portion size did not reflect the amount of money that I spent, and that was kind of my disappointment with it. So,
but to me, with it, with something like that, that's something that you don't want the guests to leave with, you know, any kind of negative feeling, you know, and that's something that is so easily fixed, you know, I mean, portion size, because it's not going to cost them that much more to put like a second cutlet on there, you know, in the overall scheme of things. And then the guest satisfaction goes up and, you know, everybody wins in that case. So, you know, I'd rather hear that than say, oh, my gosh. OK, so we haven't talked Smuggler's Run. So you were the pilot, because I want to talk that in Blue Milk. We got about 8 or 10 minutes left. So get it in. Fun. Let's go.
Okay, so I got to do Smuggler's Run, and I was lucky enough to be able to be the pilot. So there are obviously the three different positions. There's the pilot, the engineer, and I'm forgetting the last one. Went out of my head. But anyway, there's three different positions. I actually
the gunner,
got
gunner, I think, is what it is.
Yes, gunner. That's it. So I got to be on the right side, which is the one that takes you to light speed. So that was really cool. It is definitely mission space plus. So you really go in the attraction. I mean, you walk in and you really do feel like you're in the Millennium Falcon. They did a fantastic job with making you walk in, you see the holochest table, and then, you know, there's all the different buttons and stuff like that that you can push. In the preview, and I think that I heard at Disneyland as well right now, like, you don't spend a whole lot of time in this area. So they are getting you moving pretty good. And the only thing is I will say, it is a little difficult for them to hear them call your boarding card. So there are different colors based off of what, you know, boarding, set, you know, which pod you're going to end up going into. So I did find that it was a little difficult to hear, you know, them calling our group. Cause there's about, I want to say there was maybe two or three groups in with us, you know? So you go in and you sit down, and, you know, there's the positions in the back, or, you know, kind of button pushers, and then but in the front, like, as a pilot, like, I mean, it was real, you know, for me, because, like, I didn't have anything distracting me from behind. You know, I was actually looking at the screen. It was so cool. It does depend on what you're doing. Matter of fact, there was, because Brian was the other pilot, and he was supposed to go left and right, and he didn't understand that he thought he was waiting for, you know, kind of like Mission Space, the light to pop up and, you know, for, you know, it to tell you, hey, you need to do this action. And you really have to kind of listen, as you know, to Hondo as you're going, to figure out what you're doing if you're in those positions, because, you know, you what you do, like, he was not veering right. We were supposed to follow a train, and he was not veering right, and Hondo's yelling at him, veer right, veer, you know, veer towards the train. And I'm like, Brian, right, you right. Veer towards the train. So, I mean,
it's kind of like your whole ride down to Florida together in the car.
Exactly. So it took a few minutes to a few seconds for us to figure out, hey, no, you, what you do actually does, you know, especially for him, who's not, you know, privy to kind of all the Disney nerddom that I am. You know, he knows a lot, but not as much as I do. So, like, I knew that he had to steer, and you know, what he did was important. But for someone who maybe doesn't know that and think, oh, the button's going to light up and that's going to be my notification of, hey, I need to do this, it doesn't do that. You really kind of have to listen to the cues that are coming, you know, through the audio. So that's something to keep in mind as well. So it was cool, though. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
That's good, because we gave enough there. I don't want to give too much. So that was just about
right.
Although
our ship did not farewell, we did have some lights and stuff flickering.
Well, you know, the Falcon usually doesn't fare very well in most of its journeys. You know, it usually has some difficulties. Did you get to make the jump to light speed?
I did. I'm the one who made the jump to light speed, which was so cool.
That's like everybody's dream. That's so cool. I've done that a bajillion times.
But you said it was like Mission Space, but it's not. Doesn't make you nauseous like Mission Space.
I mean, I don't get nauseous on Mission Space. I don't ride the orange version, though. So I do the green version of Mission Space. And no, I mean, it didn't make me nauseous. But I don't get nauseous on, like, simulator attractions either. So I don't, your mileage may vary.
I haven't heard people say.
I haven't either. So
that they
in real time, so I don't know if that helps, you know, with the nauseous, you know, feeling, because what you're doing is, it is reflected on the screen. So I don't know if that helps, but yeah, I don't know. though.
So a couple things from live chat. Sarah asked, did you say Chewy were home?
Like, I didn't. Did you, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I feel
like you missed the opportunity. And Joe just got back within the hour or so. He was there for preview, actually, the day we're recording, because he was emailing me this morning from the land. And he said he got stuck with kids twice that were no good at piloting or shooting. So that kind of stinks.
Yeah. I guess so he had to engineer. If you get stuck with people who are not good, I can see where you would get frustrated. And, you know, you don't want to yell at people that are not, you know, with you. But like you kind of need to, like, there's really no time to like get to know the people that you're traveling with, because you're not able to connect with them. So like you can't really yell at them like, hey, do this. I could yell at Brian.
Yell Brian, that's what I'm saying. Like, poor Brian. I mean, I'm sure he got the brunt of everything. Like, hey, man, turn right. Let's go.
So let's go. But like if you're there with strangers, I can see where it would be a little more difficult because you can't yell at them. So.
All right. Last thing, because we're just about out of time. We're just kind of, you know, we just want to touch on it to give everybody just a little taste of it, because we don't want to spoil things. Everybody's going to be heading down very soon. Yeah, it's going to be open this week.
I know. It's open in a week. Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, so last thing. I was shocked because you tried the blue milk. You said you wouldn't have the whole thing, but I think your quote on Instagram was you didn't hate it, which I kind of thought you would hate it. So what was that experience like?
So thanks to Mrs. Georgia. She let me try the blue milk that she got because I was not about to buy blue milk and then hate it and then, you know, waste $8 of blue milk. It is a very small glass, I will say, but for your $8, you definitely get more butter beer at the Wizarding World.
Stop.
But yeah, I just had to throw that in, by the way, because this is the butter beer of this is the butter beer of Batuu. But I did not try the green milk because I don't like citrus flavors. But I did want to. I did try the blue milk. It has kind of a coconutty flavor to it with a little bit of fruit to it. I didn't hate it, which is good. I definitely wouldn't drink a lot of it though. I feel like a few sips was good. You know, like I feel like if you got it for your family and y'all kind of like split it amongst yourselves, I feel like that's a good, you know, unless you really, really like blue milk after you've had one, then go back and get another one. But like, I feel like that first sip of it to make sure you like it or whatever should be, you know, split amongst people instead of, you know, just a, hey, I'm going all in, you know, like you would a butter beer. I'm just saying. So
and Gregsley Ann Bellows in the live chat says hashtag team blue milk. Green is gross. So there
you
go.
Here's
my theory though, about why I think it's good that you don't just guzzle the thing down, because I mean, think about it. You got to walk around the land with like blue milk in your hand and just sip on it because you want people to see you. I mean, we're in an Instagram society. It's all for the gram. Yeah. So you got to have a blue milk in your hand. I mean, in a lightsaber in the other, you're ready for anything. You know, like,
absolutely.
Come on.
Yeah. But for those who ask, it's not really made of milk. It is a plant-based beverage. So it's not going to make you feel like milk was a bad choice. I'm just
And you do. You're like a dairy connoisseur. You love your milk.
I would drink milk in the middle of summer, and you guys have seen me drink milk in the middle of summer.
I'm like, it's 100 degrees, Ricky, you're having milk with supper? I'm like, come on, we're on a cruise. You're going to have a big old glass of white milk, and it's like 100 degrees today.
It's all good. I'm fine with that, but not a lot of people are. So, you know, milk was not a bad choice in this situation, I will say.
All right, well, you know, we're going to leave it at that. It's been about 40 minutes, so we want to cut it short. But, you know, it sounds like just final thoughts, because you got to preview it. Of course, it's going to be going live to the general public. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm excited to see what happens because we really don't know. But, you know, final, just a couple of thoughts on the land.
I really think they did a good job. You know, I know we've heard a lot of, you know, Twitter conversations or Facebook conversations about the land overall and everything like that. And I have to say, again, I very much enjoyed the land, especially as a non-Star Wars fan. I found it to be quite fantastic. It was very enjoyable to experience. I enjoyed all the details that they put in there, even the ones that I didn't understand. And all I have to say is, man, I can't wait for Rise of the Resistance, because that is going to be just the cherry on top of the sundae, I feel like. But definitely, even if you're not a Star Wars fan, go into the land, experience Galaxy's Edge. I promise you won't regret it.
Oh, I can't wait now. Well, I'm going to be, this is costing me so much money this year.
I'm sorry.
This
I'm
podcast
sorry.
Has cost me so much money in like 11 years, but it's been fun. It's like, and I can't, the thing is like, I'm going to get to like, I've now like been a toy in Toy Story Land and I've been in the Avatar movies, even though I haven't seen Avatar, you know, but I love, like Pam said, I love Pandora. It's amazing. It's an amazing environment to get to experience. now I'm going to get to, because Star Wars is my favorite all time franchise. I mean, like every 45 year old dude like me has wanted to be like Luke or Han, or, you know, if you're a little bit hairy, Chewy, you know, maybe Leia, I don't know. So it's going to be fun to get to go in that environment. And you have me pumped. I mean, like those pictures from the weekend and just the show today. Oh, and it's, I'm good. Sorry, yeah, Jeff. And
that's kind of what I want to, you know, I want to do is get people excited for the land. Cause I feel like I said, there's been a lot of naysaying about the land and it's a really cool land. I mean, it really is. And I'm not just pixie dusting. Like I'd be real. Look, I was real about Docking Bay 7. So like, I would be real about my actual thoughts. I actually enjoyed the land. So, you're going to enjoy it. I know you are. I think you are, and I've go.
I know
go.
I am because I'm smiling.
I know you are.
It.
Yeah, exactly. Go to Galaxy's Edge. I promise you will not regret at least experiencing the land. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. And I know you're excited. And, go out there and get that second job so you can build those lightsabers. And
exactly. As Jeff is saying in his hashtag most expensive day ever. Dude, for them, it really was the most expensive day ever. Because, like, I kept running into them all around the land. And they were like, we bought this. We bought this. We bought this. And I'm like, wow, you're dropping a lot of money. So, yeah.
They had a droid following them home. Maybe. Yes. We didn't even talk about the droids. There's more stuff. So we'll talk about that as the weeks and months unfold, but hope you enjoyed today's show. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Don't forget today's episode. It's a Friday, brought to you by the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. And you got to go to Batu, you know what? And, you know, back on Star Tours, it was like a travel agency in the attraction, you know, that would take you to all these places. You know what? That's the Magic for Less Travel. We'll get you to Batu on either coast. You know what? Yes. So if you want to wait and, hold off until Rise of the Resistance comes online, December, January on the coast, we can do that. But you know what? After today's show, you're already looking on Southwest.com and checking out the flights or Delta or America, whatever it takes.
And there's Frontier. Still stuff available.
There is. I know. Yeah, exactly. I've been seeing it.
So if you want to go for opening, you can.
Oh my
gosh. You want to go for soon after and into the fall, you can. So that's awesome.
Even with discounts in the fall, too.
I know, it's crazy.
So there you go. So drop by the magicforless.com, check out all the great specials. And while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote form, put in some dates. We'll get back to you to tell you what's available at each resort, you know, for your dates and so forth. And you can get down there and be one of the first to run in your neighborhood at night with a lightsaber. Just saying.
There you go.
Pretty cool thing. When you get pulled over by the sheriff, you're like, it's not lethal. It's, well, you know, it's just in the right hands. So just, have your story straight and don't mention the Magic for Less when all that happens. We'll get you there. Once you get there, you're out of our hands. Whatever you do with your lightsaber is up to you. Anyway, magicforless.com, weird ad. Don't forget, we have our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please use that anytime you shop online and give us a follow on the social and check out all the great stuff Ricky posted over the weekend. Last weekend, it's over on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod, and of course on the Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And give me a follow as well, BeOurGuestMike on Instagram and Twitter. All right, time to get out of here. We'll be back again on Monday with another great trip report. But until then, y'all have fun and stay safe. For Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great weekend. Stay safe, whatever you do out there, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.